grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'd like to wish you a happy birthday today as we celebrate the birthday of the church, Pentecost. And on birthdays, we sometimes have birthday balloons, birthday cakes, ribbons, and banners. Growing up, we had a banner that we would make for one another. It would have the name of the person with their birthday and then say, "Happy birthday, Dallas." And it was so special to wake up in the morning and see that banner being strung across the living room. And today we have a celebration, and we see some banners, some beautiful red banners with fire and doves and other sayings, and it speaks of this birthday, Pentecost. And on this day, we celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit and how it is by God's power that the church has begun. It's by God's power that the Word of God is spread, not in the strength of us, but rather in God's strength. So I'd like to talk a little bit about Pentecost and some of the significance and see where it takes us today. And we look at Acts chapter 2 today. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." So the day of Pentecost was already there before the disciples had seen these signs and wonders and were speaking in other languages. The Pentecost was actually a Jewish festival, one of three major Jewish festivals. The word Pentecost in the Greek is Pentecostos, which means 50, and it came 50 days after the time of Passover, which was the earlier Jewish feast. And so now they are celebrating what is called Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. And it was a harvest festival in rejoicing to the Lord. And as a result, there were a number of Jews from different places that were then all gathered there in Jerusalem. And it was a wonderful celebration, joyful time. But something really special happened during this particular Pentecost that changed the course of history. Now, the disciples were all gathered together in one place as the Lord had told them to do so. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, before Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells them, he says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, there's some neat things going on here. And one of the things I'd like to point out is the sound like the rushing wind. This was a loud sound that could be heard by people outside of this room. And I don't know exactly what this sound was like, but you've heard what wind sounds like when there's a storm and whoosh. It really captures your attention. And I think it's interesting and perhaps significant that there is the sound of the rushing wind. And why is that? Well, if you look at the scriptures, you will see some interesting connections associated with breath or wind. The Hebrew word for breath is ruach, breath or spirit. And in the Greek, it's pneumatos. And maybe you think of the word pneumatic. How many of you have worked with pneumatic tools before or even know what I'm talking about? If you go to Les Schwab and have your tire changed, like I did a couple weeks back because I got a flat tire, there was a man who had a pneumatic drill. Those going ones that go, vroom, vroom, vroom. And basically it's a wonderful way to allow the air to do the work. It's the air that allows the drill to turn, the wrench to turn. So that's where we get that word pneumatic. And what we hear is the sound of the rushing wind. And if you look at the scriptures, you see in the beginning in Genesis that God breathed into man the breath of life. Our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel, that strange passage about the dry bones, we hear about how there is breath that is breathed into these dry bones and they live. And we see then Jesus, who says, after his resurrection to the disciples, we hear in John chapter 20 about Jesus who breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So I think it's significant that there's the sound of the rushing wind as the Holy Spirit is coming upon them in a very special and powerful and significant way. Talk about a multi-sensory experience. We have the sound of a rushing wind, but there's more. There's the tongues like fire. And look around at these banners, these beautiful banners that have been created, and we see fire. And fire is a wonderful thing that we also see in the scriptures. You might be thinking of a particular place in the book of Exodus, where God appears to Moses in the burning bush. The burning bush was there, it burned, but it did not burn up, and God appeared in a very special way, announcing that I am who I am has sent Moses to rescue the people of Israel. Then, remember that the children of Israel were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it's also significant, too, because if you think about fire, we think about cleansing. When you want to purify something, you put it in the fire. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word, the waters of baptism, that you are cleansed, that you are made holy. And so here at Pentecost, we have the mighty sound of the rushing wind and the flames of fire, like tongues of fire upon their heads. But then there's more. Something wonderful happens. Jesus had told the disciples again before he ascended into heaven these words, Acts chapter 1, 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the gospel was going to spread all over the world. But even while the disciples were there in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were speaking the word of God in multiple languages, so that all those people from those different places could hear the word of God in their own language. As it tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This is amazing. I want to point out that these were real languages, understood languages. This wasn't just something phenomenal. This was something that pointed to God. It pointed to the good news that God was at work. And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that all of these things were happening. And as a result of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church in great power, the gospel spread like wildfire and nothing could stop it. And even to this day, the gospel continues to spread. As we are here, we are hearing the message of the good news of the gospel right here in Monmouth, Oregon, which before I finished seminary, I had no clue where Monmouth, Oregon was. But all over the world, the message of the gospel continues to be proclaimed. And that's what we celebrate here on this day, which is the birthday of the church. Now, birthdays can be exciting, but not always. Remember when you're young, birthdays can be really exciting. I remember my 10th birthday. We had a nice big party with a bunch of my friends, and that was fun. 13th birthday was great because I was a teenager. I felt all grown up. And 18, that was a good birthday too, because my parents waited until we were 18 for us to drive. So I could drive, and I could vote. But as we continue to celebrate birthdays, they're not always so exciting, are they? You might look in the mirror on your birthday, and you go, happy birthday. As you see the wrinkles and the body that just isn't the way it used to be. And instead of being a celebration, it's rather a sobering experience. Even the birthday cards that you get change as you get older. When you're young, it's something cute. Go seize the world as you're growing up, my wonderful child or grandchild. And then when you get old, it's some joke about how many candles are on the cake and you needing a fire extinguisher to put them out. And there's a lot worse cards out there you can find, all kinds of crazy stuff that points out the fact that you're old. So why do I bring all that up? Because on this birthday of the church, maybe we're not feeling like celebrating. Maybe we're actually feeling rather sobered by the fact that, at least in here, in this place, and in America, the church doesn't seem to be what it used to be. It seems to be sagging and getting weak. We look at our congregation. If you look through the picture books in the other room, you're going to see some amazing photographs. Amazing photographs of youth all over the place and just people doing all kinds of things and the church just packed. But we don't see that, do we? And it can be frustrating. We find that all across America, we can see that trend happening. And maybe we're feeling rather sobered on this day rather than feeling like celebrating. We can look at our own families and be hurt at the fact that though we spoke the word of God to our family members, maybe our children or grandchildren, they're not currently going to church anywhere right now. Or maybe they've fallen away, and that brings us heartbreak as we think about them. We care about them and we are concerned about them, and it's not maybe a day for rejoicing. Or maybe in your own life, maybe you're not feeling so filled with the Holy Spirit right now, and maybe you're feeling weak. You may have doubts and fears and questions about the Christian faith that you are maybe afraid to bring up to other people, afraid to admit that you're feeling that way. And that's what can happen on birthdays. Sometimes we can feel rather sobered. But I want to remind you that it is in God's strength and God's power and God's timing that His church is at work. I think of the Old Testament lesson, which was read for us and which we spoke about in Sunday school this morning, that strange and weird passage from Ezekiel about those dry bones. It's a very interesting passage. I don't think most of us have seen that many bones all in one place. I remember when I was in Rome, I saw, it's called the Crypt of the Capuchins, and without going into a lot of detail, it's a place where they took the bones of 3,700 different friars and put them all together in one place and arranged them in artistic fashion. If you've ever seen bones in the shapes of different things and all over the place, it's a kind of creepy thing to walk through that place. And they're dry bones. They're dead. They're long dead. They're dead, dead. Not mostly dead, but dead, dead. And we see this hopeless picture. This dry place of bones, and it seems hopeless. And the question is asked, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, Oh Lord God, you know. Then God said to Ezekiel, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Ezekiel was speaking. This prophecy was about the children of Israel who were going into exile, who had gone into exile, and it seemed hopeless, but God was going to restore them and bring them back, and He did. And in your life and in the life of the church, it may look hopeless. There may be struggles, but it's not hopeless because of the power of God at work. It is not in your strength that the church will thrive or be renewed, but rather in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, in fact, at work. Think about what the Holy Spirit did for a bunch of scared disciples. A bunch of scared disciples who not long before were there in an upper room, scared for fear of the Jews. And Peter, who denied his Lord not once, not twice, but three times, we now see him here, empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaking to a large crowd of people with boldness, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2:22, Peter says, Men of Israel, hear these words. And then he boldly speaks, verse 36, Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Bold words. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. You and I might not see signs and wonders in the same way, but that does not mean that the Holy Spirit is not at work. For we see the Holy Spirit at work through the Word, where there is repentance, where there is baptism, where there is renewal. And it is the Holy Spirit who has transformed you. You see, it starts with you and me. As it says in the explanation to the creed of the third article, it says this: I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we know when the Holy Spirit is at work? Well, is the Word of God being proclaimed? Because the Word of God will not return void. It is the Holy Spirit that works through the Word. Is there repentance? Is there baptism? Is there a renewal? And we rejoice that here, despite what we see around us, that the Word of God is still at work. The Word of God is still being proclaimed in our lives. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember that you are a baptized child of God, baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have been given the gift of faith. And it is God working through our weakness in his strength. And it is through that that the mission is accomplished. And we rejoice that the Word of God is still being proclaimed in other countries. If you look at places like China and Africa, the gospel is flourishing. And the church is exploding. It's booming and prospering. And there will come a time when the time is right where God will do what he desires to do in this place and in this country. And what a privilege and a joy that we get to be part of this. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. God uses you and me to speak to others. Now, not all of us can speak foreign languages. I know a couple of you can. And my mother speaks Spanish quite well. And Gail speaks German quite well. And that's a blessing that they are able to speak to others in that language and be able to share the good news, the message that Jesus loves their friends and family. But there are other ways in which the Lord uses you and me. Some of you speak the language of music. And you know about pianos and fortes and fermatas and crescendos and decrescendos. And the Lord has given you a unique vocabulary to connect with different people. Some of you know about black powder rifles. Others of you know about quilting and the vocabulary that goes with quilting. Some of you know about cars and how to rebuild transmissions and carburetors. And you speak the lingo. Some of you can speak the words of engineers. You know the unique vocabulary that God has given to you, and he can use that to connect with other people. And as we connect with other people, we don't need to be afraid because we don't go in our own strength. You can't convert anybody. I can't convert anybody. That's not your job. It's the Holy Spirit who does the converting. We just share the good news and the message of Jesus Christ. And so on this birthday of the church, we rejoice that the church will continue. The church will continue, not because of your strength, not because of my strength, but because the Holy Spirit is still at work. And may we go forward in confidence, knowing that God will be at work. And let us pray for a renewal and a restoration here in this place and in America. But whatever happens, we will trust that God will do his work through us in his strength and his power. So happy birthday, dear church. Rejoice that we are alive and that the Holy Spirit is still at work. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.